Blog Talk Radio.
For our full moon opening healing song, Heal It Up. This is March 1st, 2018, and I'm your host, Brenda Michiko-Kelly. Welcome to the show. The low shoe or the flying star number for today is the number 2 star. The number 2 is in the center of the low shoe grid. There are 9 flying stars. The flying stars is the low shoe. It's a different term in a different language. It's the flying stars. There are 3 on the top, 3 across the center, and 3 on the bottom, just like a tic-tac-toe board, if you could picture that. And the center number is the radiating number. It is the most important number. It touches all of the other 8 numbers in the Bagua. A Bagua is an 8-sided compass. These are both feng shui terms. Animal today, there are 12 animals in feng shui. It's a dragon day. Boy, that's a powerful one. Here's another powerful one. There are 5 elements, and today is a water day. So this is a water dragon number 2 day. In the feng shui flying stars, the number 2 star, if you've been listening, you know it's called the illness star. And this is the ancient term. We know that we are evolved and we are not ancient anymore, and we know that illness is a chance for healing. So today we might see something that we would like to heal, and this would come up today. And in the Bagua, each of the animals sit around a compass direction, and the animals are going to find themselves sitting on one of these flying stars. And so the flying star number that you are sitting on is going to really do the vibration. That is going to be your vibration resonance with what is going on. And so let's just briefly talk about the dragon, because it is a dragon day. So we want to honor the dragon. The number 2 star in the center, when the number 2 star is in the center, that means the number 1 star is over in the dragon corner, along with the snake. And we know that the number 1 star is the victory star. So this would be victory over healing. So this is sort of the way you could read feng shui in the calendar day. And this is the day of what is in the center. This month, we're still in the month of the wood tiger. And the center number this month, and for 5 more days or so, is the number 5. And when the number 5 is in the center, this is its home location. And so right now for the month, we all are kind of feeling like we're in our home locations. And the year just changed. And so all of the flying stars have flown. And we have a center new number, which is, remember, the number 9, celebration star. The number 9 celebration star in the center is the vibration for the entire year, 2018. Until next, I think it's February 2019 when we switch over. Remember, the feng shui calendar does not switch on the January 1st. It goes with more of the moons, and so it's much later in the year. than the first of the year. And it changes all of the time. And so we want to look up your animal birthday. You really got to fine tune this. And you put it in one of those free calculators that they have online. I like to use the World of Feng Shui. It has a free calculator in there. You just put your birthday in there. Also has a free Qua calculator in there if you really want to fine tune your four best compass directions. You use that in there. And then there's one more calculator in there that we haven't gone over very much, but it's a four-pillar birth chart. And this birth chart is sort of like a Western astrology chart in a little ways. You're going to end up with, well, maybe four animals, but you never know. You may have the same one more than once. And the same thing about the five elements. You're going to end up with different stems of these. And these are you. These elements are you. That compass direction of those animals are also you. Even though those might not be your birth animal year, it's part of your four-pillar birth chart. So it's still a real big part of you. And so these are just fun calculations that you can think about that really build your own personal vibration with Feng Shui. And it's not really it's not some kind of calculation forecast. It's very regimented. The flying stars, the one that's going to come to your sector is always going to be that next one that comes to your sector after when the center number is that number. And the center numbers go in order, and they either go up in order as in up in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 like that, or sometimes during the solstices the flying stars will fly backwards and they will go backwards in order like 9, 8, 7, 6 and like that. And so if you really want to chart those things, that's pretty fun. Very involved, but pretty fun. What's really the key is to get your annual flying star cures, enhancers in place. And so you're going to really want to know the sectors to cure, the ones that you want to enhance, because you can really run with those things. The ones that, let's talk about, again, the dragon. Right now, for the year, the number 8 stars over there for the dragon and the snake. Do you think you want to enhance that? Well, yeah. And this is, remember, in the southeast. We all have a southeast corner in our homes that we can add wealth to, wealthy things. Since it's a wood sector, we could put plants there. There are fun tips to put 3 coins under, round coins under your plants to grow that wealth. You can add a money bowl over there to represent the wealth. You could invite a wealth god in the Feng Shui. There are some fun ones if you want to research them. And you could just put a pile of coins over there if you want to do simple Feng Shui. There's all sorts of things like this we can do. But the main thing is to actually go over there if you haven't cleaned it all year and give it a schwab. Dust it up, because it is time to refresh for the year. Takes a little while to go through your 9 sectors, but we will do it with you. If you want a Feng Shui consultation, you can email pathfinder1111@gmail.com, and we will do it with you. And I'll look up your pillars, and we will look up together which animal you are, and we'll look at the 5 elements. And then also, we like to look at your Western astrology chart and just have that too. There are a lot of things you can do with these, especially when you find out which element you personally are. You can enhance your own personal element your entire life. If you know that, for instance, you are a water, mostly water element, then metal is the element before water, and it is feeding water. So you're going to know that not only do you use the watercolors and the water elements and the water images, metal is also key for you, key in your growth. And so learning things like that, and let's say you are a high-level athlete. Oh, let's talk about our Feng Shui fit tip for today. Let's talk about the Olympics. Let's say you're a high-level athlete and you wanted success, and you knew that you were a water element, well, you would, like, wear metal things, wear a metal good luck. You would wear the colors of metal, which are white and gold and silver. This would boost you. And let's just say congratulations to the U.S. women in their first hockey gold since 1998. Well done, well done, well done. Thank you, women hockey USA team, for winning and representing like that. And by the way, Canada, good job, y'all. You know, we try harder at number two, so I know you're coming back next year. This year, though, it's us, USA. Oh, in 4 years. That's right. It's not next year. Ooh, you have a lot of time to practice, but so do we. And for more time and more practice on things that really matter, here's Pathfinder.
Mahalo, Michiko. Miedo chunku woksape uchasha. My name is Pathfinder. I'd like to extend a heartfelt handshake, prayers of blessings for all of our relatives around the world, blessings for Mother Earth, blessings for the elemental nations, blessings for the plants and the trees. And by elemental nations, I mean the soils and others, the inside of things. The plants and the trees and the growing beings and all the animal nations, the flyers and the swimmers and the crawlers and the diggers and just all of our relatives, the animal nations, and then also all of our human nations, and prayers for peace and cooperation and brilliance in how we harmonize within this day of Aquarius that's coming. In the big term, the day is a millennial, the millennium. So in this day of Aquarius, and blessings to those who watch over us, the nature spirits, our ancestors, the sacred spirits, the angels and the archangels, and all of the masters, those who have gone before us on this path of life and have achieved reunion with Creator and now serve with the original powers to help Creator's beautiful masterpiece. And so sending these prayers of health and wealth and happiness and strength to all the people. And a shout out to all our relatives around the world. Hello. Thank you for listening. It's about 28 countries right now. So today we're going to talk about the mysticism among the luminaries. I love this title, Mysticism Among the Luminaries. We probably need about 7 days, I mean literally 24 hours a day, to really kind of cover this the first time through, but we're gonna give a go at it. So we've been talking about the 28 universal powers, and among these 28 universal powers, there are the luminaries, which is the sun, the moon, the stars, and then what a very old Lakota word, the Kapipina, and this was given to me by some Dakota, so it's that N, but otherwise it'd be Kapipila. And they roughly translated it into a modern term as ascended masters, but really these Kapipila, in my understanding, are pre-existent, and so they've never walked as humans, so they can't be ascended masters. But they're pre-existent beings that work with Creator, and they're very high-order beings, kind of like the cherubim or the cherubim, who are out there in existence. So we're actually talking about the Wachakfi, the stars, and the Kapipila, these ancient ones. The reason why I say it's like the seraphim is because when you look in the who are the seraphim, they say, well, the seraphim sing around the throne of God. There's seven of them that sing around the throne of God. And that's referring to the song of creation and the continuing song of creation. And so one way that the Christians among us can participate in sacred mysticism is to connect with the angel nation, especially through intercessory prayer, through the power of love, through the power of concentration, and through the power of cooperation with the heavenlies in order to bring the balance down here below as above. Now, there are many avenues for the mysticism around these luminaries, and one area we'll be going into in the next many weeks, and that has to do with the Sundance altars. In other words, a relationship power. They call them the altars because it's like the spider, the clown, the elk, the eagle, the buffalo, the thunderbird, the stone nation. And each one of these carries certain medicines and ceremonies and helpfulness. I didn't list all 12, but we'll get to it. That talk about this mystic connection, because the luminary is the light in us. The illumination is the light in us touching and strengthening with the lights that are around us. And so our relationship with the sun, and this has largely to do with work and nourishment, our relationship with the earth, because we always have to start with the earth. We don't just want to fly out among the stars, or what do you have in your hand when you're done? You had a good journey. But when we ground into the earth and we stay grounded in our heart, in heart-centeredness, then we come back with jewels. And it's been said that the jewels that are stored in the heavens are forever with us. And that is the jewels of light that are stored in us is with us forever. Our relationship with the moon being a relationship with cosmic water, our relationship with the planets. Each of the planets has a great indwelling teacher that we sometimes call the Manitou of that planet. And so that planet is a manifestation of a great teaching and influence upon all of our lives, because it's called the solar path. That is the path of our solar system family, our solar family. And this is also our soul path. This is part of it. Father, Son, the Mother Earth, the Grandma Moon, they're all nurturing and watching over us, just like we're their kids, and we are. On that luminary side, we are their kids. And so, you know, you might be looking out there saying, oh, there might be ETs out there. You know, we might be related to a star nation. But in truth, we're related to Mother Earth. We're related to Father Sun. We're related to Grandmother Moon. And we're related to the planets in our solar system, Mercury, Venus, Mars, the asteroid belt that used to be a planet called Maldek, Jupiter, Saturn, Chiron, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and then there's another big planet out there that they call Trans-Pluto. And then the other, you know, celestial features that are within our solar system, whether we see them or not. And those are just the physical manifestations of God reaching into our solar family. There are also invisible influences around us. In fact, physics has shown us that there is more that is invisible in the universe by far than that which we can see or even by instruments perceive. So we're going to move to a whole nother area of the luminaries. And that is that each one of us, as a soul, especially in relation to a particular birth lifetime, okay? Because we as a soul, we're eternal, and this is the part that we protect, that we're here on a fact-finding and a helpful mission in order to learn and grow within the family of God. As such, each one of us has a birth star. And this means that this is where our soul basically physically came into the universe in order to come and to be birthed into the our body, okay? And so we each have a native star. And then sometimes there's even a planet in our solar system that works with us specifically with that too. For instance, if our ancestors are Pleiadian, then Venus works with us. Okay, that's just one example. Also, a clan or a group of people can have a native star. So you have your personal source star, and then your clan, your family can also have a star. And this star and the energy of this star, the teaching of this particular point where the light of God pours in from the greater existence into our physical universe, is also a Manitou. Just like our Father Son is a great Manitou that lights our solar system. And so we have a star behind us. We have our personal star, and we also have our ancestral star behind us. Sometimes it's the same. Other times it's like our ancestral direction is Lyra, the constellation of Lyra, but our particular star might be in Vega, which is in the Lyran group, okay? So that's one example. And so this is kind of how some of the soul level works. So in meditation, through utilizing your heart and utilizing the energy systems of our body, we want the electricity moving in our body at a level that we can really be at peace and comfort with us. So we need deep, deep, strong foundation. And then we do our meditations. We meditate with the earth. We meditate with the sun. We meditate with maybe a planet that we want to work with. We meditate to connect to our source star. We meditate to connect with our ancestors and their ancestral star. And then so through using our dream body and our meditative body, which is the buddhi, as the Buddhists call it, in utilizing the meditational powers of the body, the heart, the mind, and the spirit, connect yourself with your source, connect yourself with your spiritual and physical path, and connect yourself with your helpers. This is part of the mysticism among the luminaries. Now, a whole other path of mysticism has to do with the inner transformational, and that is to utilize the seven chakras that are within us, starting with red at the base of our spine and going to violet light at the very top of our head, and utilizing their intricacy with our endocrine system in order to get those six gland complexes, which we've talked about, which start again near the bottom of the spine and go all the way to the top of the head, basically, that these seven chakras and six gland complexes are our inner universe. And then when you reflect to it on the more deeper levels and you start seeing the light interactions of the molecules, the DNAs, the RNAs, and the atoms, and all these particles, we really do look like outer space. Okay, so inside us is a little reflection of all that side of us. And this is seen very beautifully in how the ancient masters this time, the Tamil and the Hindu area, talked about Atman. Atman is the greater self. It is the greater self of each one of us, but it's even more so the greater self of all of us. In other words, the Atman is the sacred greater self of existence. That's fair to say it that way. That Atman is the greater self of all existence. And so we're included in that. And so when we recognize the Atman in us, we are recognizing the beauty of God and creation. And so in this inner meditation, connect yourself to the one source of life and do it in pathway that is you. In other words, if your native star is somewhere towards Arcturus and your ancestral star is somewhere towards Sirius, then you already have a unique star path from others. And then you have your incarnational choices, what you agreed to do, your karmas from the past, and your dharmas of the future. So remember that the sacred that's out there, you can cultivate and honor within yourself.
Pathfinder. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to Aloha Healers Network. We love connecting with you each and every week, just like this, and look for more. It's happening soon, folks. And we close Aloha Healers Network with the 5 Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
Da ko te ki ka wa ne ching te do de ham pi ko de chanu e lo ai.